Back. Don't be shy. Come on up. Got plenty of water. I won't pass out, fall on anybody. Waiting for the high sign for the from my lovely assistant at the front door there. Where'd he go? All right. So, let's thank everybody for coming. Welcome to VMworld 2006 for the second most important presentation of the entire, event, and that would be this. I'm sure you're all just bursting with excitement to talk about upgrades, because I have got a fairly full room, and I'm really looking forward to enlightening you all. My name's Dan Anderson. I'm a senior consultant with the Professional Services Organization based out of Richmond, Virginia. I don't spend much time there, but I'm based out of there. And to date, I have done something in the order of in excess of 120 upgrades, probably about 30% of which have been in live production environments, in folks' environments just like yours. I actually wrote several engagements as related to and in conjunction with some other folks regarding the actual the upgrade process. So I've had some experience. Who here actually has VI3 installed in any form or fashion in their environment? Can I show of hands, please? Okay. Who here or only have VI3 installed in a test dev environment? Show of hands. Okay. Who here plan on upgrading as soon as they leave VMworld because they're now looking to know really what they want to do? Oh, show of hands. Okay. Good. So, basically, let me walk through the actual agenda. I move around a lot, and so you're going to have to keep tracking. Your eyeballs are going to have to continually move. I'll probably walk amongst you. I don't like standing up here. I talk a lot, move a lot. But I have to come all the way back here to hit the little key, because I don't have the technology available to me to actually advance the slides. So, the agenda is as follows. We're going to talk about the upgrade phases, what you need to think about before you begin, and we're going to step through the phases. Now, I have a lot of slides here that actually talk about the actual honest-to-goodness, press-this-button type of a presentation. I'm going to blow through a lot of that because a lot of you have already seen the, hey, hit next, but I'm going to stop on certain things and I'm going to point out certain things that might be of interest to you. I'm going to talk very fast because I only have an hour to do this. And of course, I get the greatest slot in the world, the one right before lunch. So, you guys will be really motivated to listen to me. So then we're going to step through the phases of an upgrade. The risk mitigation, licensing, virtual center, ESX server, VMFS, virtual machines. We're going to talk about all of those things. What I'd really like for you to get out of this is for you to start thinking about not just the actual process of doing an upgrade, but help you establish that there's got to be some form of strategy, that you do not boldly go where no man has gone before without a plan. Okay? That's the bottom line. I will tell you honestly, after all the upgrades I've done and all the experience that I've had in since this product was in alpha stage, it is all about planning. Okay? Now, we've given you several ways of doing this, and I'm going to talk about several different things. But the first question, somebody raise their hand and give me what they perceive to be the most important question about upgrading. What do you think the most burning question is? You, sir. Yeah. What was that? How much what? Downtime, right. How much downtime? Okay? And of course, as you all know from virtualization's perspective, right, what's the usual answer when you talk to somebody who knows about virtualization and really works with it every day? It depends. It depends. And it depends on a lot of things. As everything virtual has 16 paths to get to one location, it depends. There are a lot of factors that are going to actually indicate how much downtime. I can honestly tell you that the actual process of upgrading is very fast. Very fast. It's the planning. It's the getting all that stuff in the pipeline and getting ready. And it depends. How fast is your network? How fast is your SAN? How much equipment do you have? How many VMs are you running? How big are your LUNs? And how good is your risk mitigation? Okay? So, without further ado, again, I'm going to blow through a lot of these slides pretty quick. Now, some of you, who here was actually at any other events and saw me talk about upgrades before? Anyone? Anyone? I got one guy that saw me talk about it. The other one else was like, yeah, I've seen him before. Two guys, actually. You're not going to see a lot different. Now, I saved the juicy stuff for the very last because I need to keep you in the seats so that I look really good because I have a lot of people streaming me out of my room. So I'm not going to talk about what you all want to hear me talk about until the very end. Okay? We know what that is, don't we? Right? So, the upgrade phase is regardless of what methodology, regardless of what strategy you come up with, at the end of the day, the phases are thus, and they are not negotiable. This is the order in which you will do it. Now, I wrote these original slides all by myself. I got my crayons out, and I designed these slides all by myself. Okay? Back when we didn't have 301 and the feature, which I'm not going to talk about just yet. Okay? But these rules still somewhat apply. Okay? And I'm not going to cover every scenario. I'm not going to talk about, you know, your specific SAN device and your... This is a general conversation about strategy. Okay? There are different factors that impact this process. Your environment's going to be different than your environment, that's going to be different than your environment, and so on and so forth. Okay? So, but one thing that is indisputable is I always have to have, if I have Virtual Center, guess who's always first on the list to either be installed net new or upgraded? Virtual Center. And then I need to run VMs. But I need to run them on something, right? Well, I need to run them on ESX, right? So I have to upgrade ESX. That's the next phase. And that's kind of coupled together with VMFS. Why? Well, because in order to have a VMFS 3 volume, I need ESX, right? So then we step down into the VMFS file system and, of course, the virtual machine hardware and VMware tools, right? No matter how you slice it, no matter how you cut it, this is the order in which things will happen. It is not negotiable. There are many iterations, and you're going to say, yeah, but Dan, wait a minute. I don't really want to do it in this order. Okay, I'm going to do a side-by-side thing. Listen, I'm not going to get into a debate. At some point or another, the first thing you touch is Virtual Center. The second thing you touch is ESX. The third thing you touch is VMFS, and the fourth thing you touch are VMs. Okay? Let's keep it simple, right? Now, having said that, let's get complex. Before you begin, we need to understand what the upgrade process is. So, I reference this, okay? So if you have any questions about what the upgrade process is, think these four phases. Now, they say, Dan, I think the VMware hardware, the virtual machine hardware should be in a separate, I don't care. Put it in a separate phase. Just know that it falls below ESX in the VMFS file system, right? And technically, VMware tools, you can't install the new VMware tools until you've done what? Upgrade the what? Virtual machine hardware, that's right. Right? I ran out of space on the slide, so I decided to put them all in phase four. Thank you very much. So, now, everybody gets a kick out of this slide whenever I say it, so you understand the upgrade process. Read the manual, okay? Now, I'm not kidding when I say read the manual. But I do not expect you to read it. The last time I counted the actual pages of documentation in VI3, it was 1,348 pages of documentation on VI3. How many are running 2.5x right now? Raise your hands. Look at all that, right? Well, obviously, because you're here for the upgrade, right? So, anybody who's doing this realizes, anybody who's going to VI3, and you're going to find out, if you don't know it now, you're going to find it out while you're here at VMworld. VI3 is a new product that we have been basically nice enough to give you a procedure that we can actually overlay or upgrade your old product. Okay? Engineering has done a marvelous job of allowing you to do this upgrade, okay, while completely re-architecting the product that lies underneath. Okay? So, I tell you, I submit to you, I don't expect you to read 1,300 pages, but the first thing I expect you to read is the release notes. If you don't read anything, that is the only thing you should read if you decide you don't want to read anything else. Okay? I don't want to come back next year and have you come up to me and say, yeah, I went through an upgrade after your presentation. You know, I ran into this problem and that problem and this problem and that problem, and I'm going to have, the first thing that's come out of my mouth is I'm going to say what? Did you read the release notes? Because pretty often or not, you're going to find that that problem exists in the release notes. Right? And then, you create an upgrade plan after you read that one doc. I'm not saying that's the only one I want you to read. Don't take this literally. I'd like you to read all of it. But in fact, you're not gonna. Because you're gonna be just like me. I bet you guys were all just like me when this product came out. You downloaded, you found the first ESX server you could come to that wasn't running some mission critical app. It was actually Bob's IIS server that he used to serve up his wiki. And you're like, you know what? I'm gonna upgrade him. And you broke the hell out of it. Right? Because I did it. I did it at home. And I'm like, what's going on with this? Why isn't this working? And then I went and read, well, what? The release notes. And I went, oh, yeah. Okay, so, create your plan. Then I want you to go back after you created your plan, and I want you to reread the release notes. Okay? So, what is, I'm going to go off on a tangent because I can do that. It's my presentation. I'm allowed to. What is the most, I'm going to see a show of hands when I ask these questions. What is the most compelling reason, show of hands now, for upgrading to VI3? DRS, show of hands. VMware HA, show of hands. Because I just don't know any better and I have to. Somebody told me to. Better performance. Show of hands. Somebody shout out what they think the biggest reason is. Because I saw like five hands come up on each one of these things. You guys just like sitting here listening to me talk about upgrades because, wow, my boss told me I had to go to VMworld. And it was in L.A. and I was going to Hollywood. I figured I'd kill some time. Come on. Nobody's participating. You're not playing well. All right. So anyway, we're going to talk about Virtual Center, ESX Server, VMFS, and Virtual Machines. Okay? How about stability? Anybody upgrading because of stability? Okay? Anybody upgrading because they have bigger virtual switches? I mean, there's a lot of reasons, right? I mean, I could sit here and go on and on and on and on. And as you saw, everybody's reasons for upgrading is different. The weighted choice on why you're upgrading is different. Why is that important? It's important because it's going to ultimately impact the procedure and the migration strategy and or upgrade strategy that you choose. If it's not that important to you, do you really think that strategy is going to become first and foremost in your IT planning? Probably not. But if there's something you really need or really want, or a combination of those things, who's upgrading because of all the features? Show of hands. Because of everything. Pretty much the whole package. Because it's the best product that you've seen come out of VMware since 2.5.2. No, there's a lot of reasons. So, these reasons have a definitive impact on why you're doing this. And it will have a definitive impact on the mitigation strategies and the actual upgrade strategy you take. Now, you like this sign, everyone? You know what that means, right? Okay? Now, let me not frighten you with, the sky is falling. Because that's not what it is. What it is a friendly little warning that says, when you push the button and it says, are you sure? Okay? The reason why we ask you, are you sure, is because there's no magic button that says, oh, you weren't sure, but you pushed the button anyways, and now you want to go back. All right? That's why that's up there. You can get back, all right? It's just not a magic button. It's not Staples, okay? There is no easy button to go back, with deference to Staples. Thank you. All right. And the next one is be prepared to stop. The reason why I say be prepared to stop is because you may not be in a position to take your entire virtual infrastructure to VI3 like that, right? So what we need to do is make sure that we have a strategy that allows us to be prepared to stop, right? I may want to just do the virtual center instance in the database and manage it from that aspect for a little while. And then I might want to take a set over here. Then I might want to take a set over here. If I do that, I need to be prepared to stop. I need to be planning this event, right? Who's got over 100 VMs, show of hands, running right now? Who's got over 500 VMs running right now, show of hands? Who's got over 1,000? 10 more? A March, okay. Okay, I give him till March, and he has 1,000. So, obviously, the guy who's got 100 VMs versus the guy who's got 1,000 VMs, the level of planning, 100 VMs, 1,000 VMs, right? What are the factors? The factors are, who's got a change control process in right now that anytime you make a change to your virtual machine, you have to go through a change control process? Stand up, show of hands. Right? Who's got one that is entirely too cumbersome for your likes and dislikes, but you have no control over it whatsoever, and you have to adhere to that policy? Hands. Right, exactly. Okay? Again, another factor, right? So before you begin, you need to think about a potential backout strategy. And I'm going to stress this, and I'm going to say it again and again. Do you think, as a professional, I'm going to walk into your environment, and I'm going to say, hey, let's upgrade you. And by the way, I've done 130 of these. Hey, I didn't have any problems. Don't worry about it. We can go ahead and do your file system right now. It's no big deal. I am not, nor is anybody that is of sound mind or body, going to tell you that risk mitigation during an upgrade process is not necessary with special regards to a file system. Okay? Nobody's going to tell you that. Well, somebody might. Somebody that doesn't know anything about file systems might say, that's just a file system upgrade. You know, no big deal. I'm not one of them, and you probably won't hear anybody here at VMware tell you. Okay? I've been pretty proud and pretty happy with the results that I've seen because I haven't had any problems. But I wouldn't upgrade my workstation virtual machine without having a strategy, an upgrade plan, okay, a backup plan, right? So some ideas for this, virtual center. Remember, let me go back just to refresh your memory because I've been waxing philosophic here. Let me remind you about that sign with the little red thing and the black little doohickey there and the no U-turn sign, all right? This is why we need to think about these. That is your U-turn sign, okay? And these are just some ideas. You're creative people. You'll come up with your own risk mitigation strategies. These are just some. I mean, I had one guy pop up in the audience. Well, I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it some other way. I'm all for risk mitigation. However you choose to do it. But you need to choose to do it, right? Okay? Because how many can suffer... How many can take downtime right now? Show of hands. All of your VMs can go down immediately without fail right now. You can do it. Raise your hand. Everybody, look around. See how many hands there are? Look, see them? See them all? Oh, wait, there are no hands. What that makes me think is, guess what? Virtual infrastructure has become a very important part of your data center, and it should be treated as such. We call it virtual infrastructure. Wow, virtual infrastructure? Why, hell, that is just a marketing term. Everybody who's running an IT department sitting in front of me right now knows that virtual infrastructure is not a marketing term anymore. It is a reality. It is all of the surround, it's all the pieces, parts, it's everything that makes up houses, works with, combines with, to make up your virtual machines, ESX server, virtual center, all of that. It's become an integral part in your day-to-day operations. So we can't just arbitrarily turn it off anymore. It's not a novelty anymore. So, I'm not going to go through each one of these. You guys get the general idea. If I want to back out of an ESX server, what have I done? I've overwritten the binary. So what do I need to do? Somebody say it out really loud. Reinstall. If I need to replace my VMFS file system, what do I need to do? It's a file system, so I need to reformat. Exactly. Now, if I'm a smart guy, and I'm thinking that I got a bunch of VMs on this VMFS3 file system, and the only way to get back is to reformat that file system, what do you suppose happens to everything that's sitting on that file system when I reformat it? Yeah, right, bye-bye, right? Which means that I probably should have a what? Okay, or I should have a backup plan, mitigation, risk mitigation, strategy, okay, whatever. What if your boss came down and said, tomorrow, we were just kidding about the whole BI theory thing, and we really, you know, we bought the licenses, we decided not to use it, and you're like, ooh, well, I already upgraded. What do you do then, right? You got to back out. Well, your backout strategy is any one of these number of things. So, one last thought on that. Now, you can get your infrastructure. I'll tell you right now, majority of what I've been seeing out in the field, I'm going to talk about some strategies, but the fact of the matter is, a majority of what I'm seeing out in the field is migratory approaches, side-by-side installations. That's basically what I'm seeing. All right? And now with the advent of the thing that I'm not going to talk about, which you all know what it is, you're just dying to hear me say it, but I'm not going to say it. All right, with the advent of that, it even makes that more compelling. But I'm going to have some discussions with you about that very thing. Okay? So, risk mitigation. Okay, see that little flashing thing right there? Don't protect yourselves, just yourselves. Protect your infrastructure. Be smart about this. Make sure you have a backup. A backup plan. A plan. Okay? I'll tell you, you know, one of the first biggest questions that comes to me all the time is, well, how long is it going to take? Not just how long is the downtime, how long is it going to take? So I'm going to answer some of those questions for you right now. Okay? It depends. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, really. I'm really going to answer it this time. Okay. How long is a VMFS file system upgrade going to take? Anybody hazard a guess? You somebody throw your hand up? Come on, somebody out there's done it. You. It depends, right, exactly. No, it doesn't depend. Actually, that's one of the nice things about the VMFS3 file system. It doesn't depend. No matter how big the file system is, it's going to take 3 to 5 minutes to upgrade it from VMFS2 to VMFS3. Okay? No matter how big. It's the way we do the metadata, it's the way we talk to it, no matter what. And I actually doubled what engineering told me was the actual time it was going to take. They told me somewhere between 2 and 3 minutes. I'm saying somewhere between 4 and 5 minutes. I doubled what they said. So, that's how long it takes to do a VMFS file system. How long will it take to upgrade the virtual machine hardware? Anyone? It depends, right? When can I get downtime? I can run that virtual machine in legacy mode. That's why people are doing a lot of migratory, side-by-side, vertical things. Okay? So I can run it in legacy mode, but I won't be able to take advantage of things like what? VMware HA, DRS, VCB, because I need to update the what? The virtual machine hardware, and then I need to update what after I do that? VMware tools, right? All right? So, when we're doing this, we want to make sure we have a backup of the VMX files. We want to make sure we have backup of our VMDK files. I don't care how you do it. I'm going to give you a little scenario real quick. Real situation. Guy's in the middle of upgrading. Goes into a bar. No, I'm just kidding. So, no, guy's in the middle of upgrading. He went into a bar after this, I guarantee it. Some cable pullers were in his data center. He's got a raised floor data center. And unbeknownst to him, there was some sort of coolant line running underneath the raised floor. Electrician's on one side. He's got a big, thick, black cable. They're pulling about 180 feet of it. And they're pulling it underneath the floor. And it just so happens that it's plenum cable, which gets really hot when you pull it really fast. And when you pull it really hot and pull it really fast and it goes over a rubber hose, what do you suppose happens? It actually rubs a hole in the hose. So a little waterfall shoots up out and happened to be an open cover on the raised floor. And this little waterfall shot up and out and happened to be right underneath their what? No, even better. It happened to be right under their raid array. Went up the side of the rack. This is a high-pressure hose. Went up the side of the rack and literally waterfalled down the back plane of the entire raid array. Not that it only fried the back lane of the raid array, because, you know, it was pretty well protected from that kind of stuff, but it happened to actually get into the actual plane where you plug in the hard drive. So it didn't just fry the back plane, it fried every hard drive in his unit to the tune of 32 terabytes. Now, he wasn't using all 32, so don't feel too sorry for him. Okay? He was using somewhere in the order of about 10. Okay? So let me tell you what his backup strategy was. His backup strategy. Now, this really didn't have anything to do with an upgrade. Why? Well, because he hadn't even gotten that far yet. He inserted the CD in and it went boom. Okay? But it brings to mind the reason why you need to understand two things about a backup strategy. How long is it going to take you to do it? And then how long is it going to take you to do it? Okay? Right? Because we tend to worry about the upfront backup times, am I right? How long is it going to take me to get this off the tape? I got to get it off the tape. I got to have it. Let me give you a hint. Okay? It's 500 VMs in that mix-mosh of 10 terabytes worth of stuff. He had an agent in each VM. He did not have backups of his VMX files. He did not have image-level backups of his VMDKs. And he was running somewhere in the order of 5 operating systems. You know what his recovery strategy was? His recovery strategy was to create new VMs with a baseline operating system that was equal to or less than his backed up system and come off from tape with a grandfather, father, son strategy. To the tune of 4.5 weeks it took him to get from 100% down to 100% operational. Okay? So think about that. Why do I talk about this? Well, because for those of us that are lucky enough, I'll get to this in a minute, for those of us that are lucky enough to have things like block level replication, sand copy, whatever the block level flavor du jour is, isn't that sort of a built-in risk mitigation? Right? Couldn't I quiesce all my systems and go ahead and take a block level copy of that LUN or that entire thing? What do I got to have? I got to have equal size space, right? If I do a side-by-side implementation, what do I have to have? I have to have available hardware. I have to have available space. How many here have absolutely no hardware available to them or no space whatsoever on their stand to do this? Hands. Okay. You guys need to come see me later. I can't help you with the space, but we can go and we can have, you know, a little prayer session. And no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. So, these are all different strategies, but if I have hardware with block level replication, you know, I'm probably going to leverage it. Okay? One of the things that I like to tell my customers is take advantage of this time where you're doing the upgrade. How many of you have gone through best practices and actually looked at your systems and realized that you're not into best practices? We all have. You're lying if you say you're not. Okay? You just haven't had me come out and look at your systems yet. Well, it's a good time, because at certain times, if we have hundreds of VMs, we may have lost touch. When I let Bob go ahead and create Bob's VM, you know, and he named the VMDK Rick, and he named the second VMDK after his wife, Nancy. So he's got a VM named Bob. He's got a, you know, a VMDK named Rick. And by the way, the network name is John Boy. And, you know, so there's absolutely no correlation there whatsoever. Might be a good time to actually do some house cleaning when you do an upgrade, don't you think? Maybe it's time to do a hardware refresh. Okay? This is why I say you got to plan this. You got to understand what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish. Okay? Understand the features that you'd like to see, and realize that DRS and VMware HA take some kind of planning. What? Planning. Why? Because there's a special way you might want to implement it. How you're going to lay out your farms and design your strategy and how you're going to do all this, right? Right? License server. I'm a little slow. Anybody have a time? I don't have a watch. Wow, I got a half an hour. I can go an hour. You guys don't mind staying here an extra hour, do you? Just kidding. So this is the actual installation of a license server. Can be installed in the VM, should be installed in the Virtual Center server. There's two ways of types of licensing that you want to actually, you got to deal with, served and unserved. How many here are planning on doing served licensing? Raise your hand. How many even know what served licensing is? Raise your hand. Obviously, if you're doing it, you know what it is. How many don't know what served licensing is? Okay. So we've changed our licensing model from a fixed key base to an actual serve. We actually, when we build Virtual Center now, we load Virtual Center, we actually install a licensing server based on FlexLM licensing. Anybody here ever done anything with HPUX in the last 20 years? Yeah, we remember FlexLM, don't you? It's gotten a lot better. And I'm happy to say that we've embraced the technology and brought it to you. So, licensing. Okay, we now serve up a licensing file. Okay, it's a central licensing model, so all of your features and functions will now come from this centralized license. You have the option of having a host-based file or an unserved file. Okay? I'm not going to talk much more about that. Upgrading Virtual Center server. You know, where do you find this information, somebody? Anyone? I'm sorry, what? So then I do the installation. You guys have seen this. Next, 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 next. Thank you. Defaults. I like that. Upgrade. Like that. Okay, you've seen that. That. You've seen that. You've seen that. Accept the EULA. Do that. Connect the... Oh, you've done that. VMFS. Oh, wait. We should probably talk about this one. Okay. So just in case it's a little blurry, I'll read it to you. All right? Back up. This is file system upgrade, exclamation point, underscore, bold, cap. All right. And it is italicized. Yes, thank you for that input. Yes, sir. You mean a cold migration? Is that what you're asking me? A cold copy? We're going to talk about that in a minute. I'm going to actually walk through a process here. And just so I don't get, I'm easily sidetracked, so don't ask me any questions anymore, okay? Because I will absolutely go off the deep end and we will never get back on track. I need to get through this presentation, so if you got questions, just hold on. Ask me later, okay? We'll go sit and have lunch together. All right. I'll get back to that. So, all right. So back up your VMs, OS level with agent will require a recreation of the VMX and the VMDK, clone your virtual machine to an alternate data store, revert it to the original. Now, when I am running a 2.5x environment, where are my VMX files? I'm sorry, what? On the host. Okay? And if I use some sort of block replication on my SAN, am I backing up my host? No. Okay. And is VMFS2 good at having subdirectories? No. one of the benefits of VMFS3, I might add. So, possible backout strategy, obviously, see above. Back up. Requires reinstallation of ES2X and reformat to VMFS2, which means you need to have whatever was on that file system backed up. So, one of my favorite topics is this discussion, vSwap. There's this thing called a global vSwap in 2.5x, and we don't use it anymore. We now use a per VM vSwap file, which is equivalent to somewhere in the neighborhood of the size of the amount of memory that's installed in your VM, that's assigned to your VM. If your VM has 2 gig of RAM, how big is your vSwap file going to be? Anyone? 2 gig. That's right. And where do you suppose the vSwap file now lives? On the SAN. So if you have an aggregate total of somewhere around 30 gig of memory assigned to your VMs on a VMFS LUN, how much space are you going to actually use on that VMFS LUN because of your memory vSwap file? 30 gig. Which means that if you have 290 gig of 300 used and you have 30 gig of memory being assigned to your VMs, what's not going to fit? And what happens when you fill up a VMFS file system? Okay. So now that we got that out of the way, that's part of the whole planning thing, right? Right. Okay. So, a vSwap file is configurable. However, the default will match the VM's assigned physical memory, which means that no matter what, when you're doing an upgrade, as soon as we push that thing out, we fire up that VM, okay, unless we've made a concerted effort to go in and modify the actual configuration to reflect the new size of the vSwap file that we want, I'm going to come up equal to the memory assigned to the VM vSwap file. Okay? Made my point? Good. Just because you look down in the directory and the VM hasn't been powered on yet, you don't see a vSwap file, you think I'm lying to you. That guy Dan, full of it. You basically get out of the directory that you're really mecking around in. You probably shouldn't mess around with it. Anyways, you turn it on and all of a sudden you're out of space and you look and there's a vSwap file. Don't come crying to me because I told you. It's there. All right. So we've already talked about what the sizing ramifications are. All right. Here's the process we go through to actually upgrade a file system. But I'm going to go back real quick. I'm going to talk about some of the performance enhancements of VMFS3. Now, you'll all get this and when you go take the What's New in VI3 course or the VI3 Installation and Configuration course. However, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag and say, guess what? VMFS3 is a lot better performing than VMFS2. Okay? Give me one good reason why I like VMFS3 better than I like VMFS2. Anyone? Directories! And what else? Why else? Why do I care about directories? Okay? Why else? Because if everybody pays attention to what we've been doing at VMware over the last couple of years, you've noticed that things are starting to do what? Go out to the, and I want to put them in a container of some sort, right? Because I want to make my ESX server as low profile as possible, right? At some point, right? I can do math. I know where we're going. I don't have the inside track on anything, but I can guess where we're going. So, having said that, okay, VMFS3 also has a significant improvement in the actual whole performance thing too, right? Who here runs redo logs in 2.x mode? Right? 2.5x. I was being, 2.5x the version. 2.0, VMFS2, redo logs, hands. Ever done it? Lots of them at one time. Raise your hands. Locked up your file system completely so you couldn't do anything. Raise your hands. Okay, so what VMFS3 brings to the table is we've changed the way that we're doing metadata locking. So if I have to grow, actually we changed the whole way we're doing snapshots, but I'm not going to go into that right now. But let's just suffice it to say that if I need to grow that snapshot, I'm not going to freeze the whole VMFS line. I'm going to freeze a vertical of metadata. Okay, better performance, handle snapshots better, upgrade now. Thanks for coming. See you later. More files, better logical volume management, better performance, a whole lot of different reasons. Okay? And, of course, everything's out on the SAN. Good stuff. All right. So this is what you do when you do an upgrade for the file system. You've seen that before. You haven't seen that. But I don't know what to show you. I'm just kidding. So one of the things I like to call out when we talk about... Now, here's this whole... This is the funny thing we were talking about before. Remember when I said, you know, hey, are you really sure you want to do this? I like this one. My favorite. That's why I took a screenshot of it and blew it up. It is a non-destructive process. However, it cannot be undone. It's very polite. Okay? I take a screenshot of that and I show you because that's... Remember I was talking about point of no return? Okay? Like, when you hit that yes button, it's like, oh, well, I didn't really mean to do that. I want to... No. Okay? So, keep that in mind. And so you really, you know, one of the things that you don't really know is exactly how long it's going to take. And like I said, it's somewhere between 3 and 5 minutes. And if you don't believe me, the ability to go in and look at Alt F12 on the console, okay, to actually see activity occurring if it's really bothering you as to what's going on. And of course, upgrade time depends on what? On what? And what else? Actually, in the VMFS, that was a trick question. VMFS, the upgrade depends on, well, it's about 3 to 5 minutes because I said so because I took what engineering told me and doubled it. That's what it depends on. Right? I didn't mean the whole upgrade. It was a trick question. Sorry. All right. So virtual machines. Basically, we can restore the VMX files and re-register. Remember I was talking about the whole block level thing? I can do a block level, kind of an in-place thing. Make sure I bring over my VMX files from the other machine, restore them where I want to put them, okay? And then re-register those VMs. They'll be running in legacy mode, okay? How can we upgrade our VMs? Okay? In other words, the virtual machine hardware. There's an actual math tool. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because this isn't an actual discussion on the actual process of upgrading, the actual step-by-step, you know, way to upgrade. But there is a math upgrade tool that allow you to do that. A couple items of note. The Windows NT is not supported to do mass upgrades against. Okay? And it's run from the virtual center server, by the way, which means it has to have been upgraded, right? Because that's phase... phase zero. Yeah, that's ground zero. Yeah. That's phase one of the process. So, you got to make sure there's no redo log files, there's no suspend files, and you can do this, command. Or you can actually do a bulk upgrade. One of the nice features of VI3 Virtual Center is the ability to actually bulk select VMs that are of like status and do certain things on. Very cool. And, of course, you can do the actual command. Start programs, accessories, command prompt, and type the actual VMware VM upgrade script. Now, I only bring this up not because I want to talk about the actual process, but what I want to share with you a little thing that I did. So I did this whole SAN level thing where I actually did a block level copy, and I had a whole partition full of VMs, about 60 or so, and we wanted to clean some stuff up. So we cleaned some stuff up, and then I was like, you know, I'm going to write a script, and I'm going to register these VMs with one host, and I'm going to go ahead and do the automated upgrade. Okay? Well, the only host I had available to me was one that was like sitting around. It was a DL360. I think it was a Gen 2 or something, about 2 gig of RAM, a couple of processors. And I go and I do this VMware upgrade script, and I forgot about this little piece of information right here. Max power ons. If you decide you want to use this script, pay attention to this. Because I got to tell you, 65 VMs powering on the DL360, rebooting at least twice at once, it took a while. And it didn't like it very much. So just keep that in mind. That's why I call that out. Okay. So Now, we're starting to get down to brass tacks here. Give me a time check. Anyone? 12:30. I got 15 minutes. Upgrading your virtual machines. Now, again, I'm going to read the title to you so you understand. Upgrading your virtual machines. So I've updated this to reflect the product that we will not name yet. Okay? Due to the scope and nature of upgrading, downtime of each component will occur. What do I define as an upgrade? I define as an upgrade a successful from start to finish, bringing my systems from a 2.x, VI 2.x to a VI 3.x environment. Complete. From there to there. That's what I call an upgrade, a successful upgrade. You could choose not to upgrade the VM hardware or the VMware tools. However, using DRS, VMware HA, VCB, running in degraded mode, you don't have the same capabilities with the actual virtual NICs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Sure, you could make the argument that you don't have to take downtime because of the tool we haven't mentioned yet. All right? But the fact remains is at some point or another, you're going to have to make a decision to upgrade your virtual machine hardware and your VMware tools. And I don't care who you are and how special you think you are, that red line right there, see the bold? I even italicized that one, too. Downtime will occur at some point. If you're going to update your VMware hardware and you're upgrading your VMware tools, downtime is going to occur. It's going to happen. There is no magic button that makes it go away. It's going to happen. It just so happens. It happens to be up to you. So how long will depend on all of these things. The environment type, for most customers, this is going to be ultimately the deciding factor when making an upgrade path decision. You know, your environment type. Do I have extra hardware? Am I going to do a hardware refresh? Do I have SAN space? Do I not? This is going to affect my strategy going forward for doing an upgrade. Right? Hardware availability. Personnel is another good one. Right? How many are staffed to the bare bones? Hey, raise your hand. Don't have a lot of time. Right? But your boss still expects you to get it done tomorrow. Right? So, these are all things that are going to come into play. Do not step lightly. Do not go forward, you know, without having a plan. And, of course, how often do we have time to sit down and actually formulate a plan? I suggest you do it on this one. Okay? Because I guarantee you, the boss is going to be a lot happier with you sitting down with a plan and trying to plan than he is you sitting down trying to figure out how you're going to restore 200 VMs because you just screwed up the upgrade because you didn't have a plan. Okay? Change control is some of the biggest impacts that I've seen. I've got customers that have change control policies that are absolutely frightening in breadth and depth. Okay? And I said that like Bugs Bunny, just in case you didn't pay attention. Okay? Breadth and depth. Actually, it's more like Daffy Duck. And I mean breadth and depth, all right? So for one VM, there's six sign-offs, six sheets, six separate documents that need to be signed, each by six people. Okay? That's 36 sign-offs for one machine. Times, they have somewhere in the order of 600 virtual machines. Okay? Let's just multiply that times 100, just because I like the number. 3,600 signatures to upgrade 100 virtual machines based on their current change control policy. Kind of begs the question, maybe we ought to think about our change control policies, right? Again, paradigm shift, you got to remember. Going forward, that's why I say planning is important. Things like DRS. If you can't vMotion a machine without a change control, do you think you're going to be able to leverage DRS? Right? If you got to open up a change control policy every time you want to vMotion something, maybe it's time to revisit how we do things. Because these are policies based on what? The physical days, right? All part of planning and understanding where you're going to. But I'll tell you what, the number one most time-consuming outside of planning, the number one thing that is going to take you the longest in every environment it's the same, is what? The one I put at the bottom of the list. It's in no particular order. But it's at the bottom of the list because I want it to be the one that I mentioned again, the last time, again. Risk mitigation. That's going to be your backup. I mean, that's what's going to take the longest. I guarantee you, your risk mitigation is going to take longer than the actual process of backing up. Okay? So, we do a weighted decision, right? Anybody here had their data center upgraded for electrical or anything like that, and you had to take a weekend outage? Anyone? Yeah, look at all the hands. Why is it okay for me to take a weekend outage with electricity, and yet when I want to upgrade my virtual infrastructure, I can't take a weekend outage? Let me ask you that. Think about that for a second. Because maybe, just maybe, it might be more effective for me to actually take my 250 VMs down for an entire weekend, schedule it Friday, go to Monday, do my entire upgrade, instead of going through change control for 250 machines and dragging that process out over how long? Okay? Think about that. I want you to think about alternatives. Right? So, these are all the steps. I say steps. My coworker Pang actually redid all these. They're much prettier. Redid them all. Thank you, Pang. they're much better looking. My crayons were a little dull this day. But basically, there's a local disk in-place upgrade for you folks that don't have SAN. All right. Is anybody not running Virtual Center here? No Virtual Center. Okay. Are you planning on continuing to not run Virtual Center? Anybody not going to run Virtual Center when it comes to VI3? Okay. All right. Well, at least you don't have to worry about upgrading Virtual Center. Well, I'm just saying, you know, this is the upside to everything. All right, so upgrade paths. You know, you're going to see a common theme here. What's the first thing we always upgrade generally? Okay. Now, again, I may want to put this in a parallel situation, but what does a parallel implementation require me to have? Another server, equipment, right? So this is an in-place upgrade. So the first thing we do is we back up our SQL Server database. By the way, if it's Access, guess what happens to the database? Bye. Who's running Access in production? Come on, be proud. You're lying, too. So, yeah, if you're running Access in production and you do the upgrade, it's going to, you know, pretty much, well, it's going to go away. And it's not just going to, like, go away and say, hey, here's all your stuff. It's going to go, bye. It's not going to say goodbye. It's not going to be all nicey-nice and leave you a present. It's just going to go bye-bye. So in place, we choose the host upgrade. We power off all the VMs. We upgrade ESX2 to ESX3. We do an in-place upgrade of VMFS2 to VMFS3. We relocate all of our VMs VMX files from EXA3 data store to the VMFS data store. We upgrade from virtual machine hardware version 2 to VM3. And you know, I say VM2. It's not, if you actually looked at the version of the hardware, it's actually just a different number. And it's 4.x and 5.x. And, you know, so, you know, this is just easier because VM hardware from the 2.x days versus the VM hardware from the 3.x days. Don't go looking for a little, you know, version 2 to pop up. Our software is nice enough to tell us when we're running a legacy piece of hardware in our new environment, okay? So you'll know. Trust me. And then you power on your VMs, and then you repeat for your remaining hosts, right? And what do we need to do before we do all that? What? Backup? Did somebody say backup? Yeah, I heard you yell it out. No, actually, I didn't hear you yell it out, but I'm going to say it anyways. Backup. All right? So, this. I'm going to warn you about this slide. Do not go home and look for the script that does an HVL alignment. Okay? Don't look for the button that does this. Okay? This is a figment of my imagination. All right? It's a construct. It's a way to me to get you to understand what I'd like you to do is try to get some semblance of organization prior to doing an upgrade. I want to get you to do this HVL alignment. There is no script. Do not call support and say, hey, I can't find the HVL alignment tool, because there ain't one. Okay? I made this up. I had a late night and I decided to come up with some acronym that I could annoy the hell out of everybody in this room with. And this is it. It's the best I could do on short notice. What it stands for is Host Virtual Machine Run. What I'm trying to do here is, if I can't have a virtual machine powered on the VMFS volume that I'm upgrading, and I've got vMotion things going all over the place, I more than likely have something that looks like this. Am I right? Okay? So what do I want to do? I want to minimize the amount of downtime that I take on my virtual machines. So I want to kind of verticalize them so that, if you notice in this little picture and you follow all the little dotted lines, if I want to upgrade that VMFS3 volume, what happens? I have to shut down all the VMs related to that. And how well am I going to be able to do that? How effective am I going to be? Because then I can't power some on, I can't power some off, So I want to do this kind of alignment, a logical grouping. Because why? Because I'm going to want to kind of verticalize this for a moment so I can say, I know that this run and these VMs are pretty much associated, so I know that this batch is going to be upgraded. Right? So it's kind of it's a logical grouping to help you better facilitate the upgrade process. Right? Again, there's no button. Swear to God. It's not out there. You can look all you want. The reason why I want to do that, we're going to do a fan-in-place upgrade, which basically means not moving anything off. I'm upgrading the VMFS file system, the ESX host, and everything in place. It's there. It's happening right there. I've made the necessary mitigation precautions. It's happening right there. And I've been very successful with this, by the way. But I've also been able to take downtime to do it. Okay? So, notice the way that I'm going to do this, I'm still going to upgrade what first? Virtual Center, right. Okay? Now I got my Virtual Center 201 box sitting there ready to roll. Then I'm going to choose a host one pair to upgrade. And again, this assumes that you followed my advice and found that application that I was telling you about, the HVL alignment. Okay? I'm kidding. It's not an application. It's a construct. But what you've done is you've verticalized for the time being because you planned ahead. You got everything kind of coalesced. And now you're going to choose a pair. And on that pair, you power up all your VMs. Okay, here's the ESX server. There's the SANLUN. Okay? You power them all off. Upgrade ESX2 to ESX3. In-place upgrade of VMFS2 file system to VMFS3. Notice how they all kind of change colors and stuff. Relocate all your VMs VMX files from EXT3 data store to the VMFS3 data store. Upgrade virtual machine hardware version 2 to version 3. And tools tool to tools 3. Power on your VMs and repeat for the other pairs. Whereby you have a known factor of, I have X machines, X servers in downtime mode. Time check, please. I'm done. Okay, so. Oh, wait. Ooh, oh. So how many want? Do you want to keep going or you want to quit? Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, so I'll make it fast. Hot migration upgrade, okay? What do you need to know? What do you need to know about hot migration upgrade? Requirement. You have to have what? A running instance of 201. You have to have a target ESX 301 server and associated VMFS 3 LUN. Whether you get it from upgrading, whether you get it from doing a net new install, I don't care. You have to have this. Okay? Both target 301 and source 2XX, okay, ESX host must be managed by the above virtual center instance. And you also have to have time. Because you can only do one at a time. It's a serial event. So the first question that comes to somebody's mind is, well, how long does it take? Well, how long does it take to copy a 30 gig VMDK from host A to host B on your SAN? Okay? How long does that take? Multiply that times the amount of VMs you have And that's how much time it will take. So again, I submit to you, those of you that want to spread this out over a long period of time, you're more than welcome to. The VMs will be hot. They will be online. But how long do you want to draw out the upgrade process? How it works. Process is initiated via the virtual center instance. We do a standard vMotion from source to target. Now, again, this is happening. I slowed this down a little bit so you guys could follow it. Okay? VM is placed in redo mode. Redo file is on the target VMFS3 volume. The base VMDK file is copied from the source to the target. The VM is paused. Again, I slowed this down for your benefit. The VM is paused and reparented onto the target host. Okay, now we're talking about tick. Right? You know what a tick is, right? And I don't mean a little thing that latches onto you after you went deer hunting. I mean tick, a CPU tick. All right? That's a pause. I don't mean a pause. Okay? Just so you know. All right? Now, it's also going to depend, the same constraints apply to this particular procedure that applies to vMotion. We are under the same constraints. How long is it going to take to do a vMotion? Well, it depends. How busy is the VM? Right? So all those factors still apply. Then, the source VMDK is actually deleted from the source host, and away we go. Right? And TechLink is not really deleted, right? Pang, isn't that correct? It's left there. We just say it's deleted. We removed it from inventory. Right? That on that particular side. Right? But we can't delete it because we have what? Read only. So we can't delete it. Right? The redo log is applied to the base disk on the target host, and voila! Okay? You now have a migration finished. Now, you notice what I said. What is the word I used? Migration finished. What did I not say?
Upgrade
finished. You were operating in legacy mode. So if you want to take advantage of things like DRS and VMware HA and VCB, you still need to upgrade the virtual machine hardware to VMware tools. That's all I have. Additional considerations, the supported platforms. This is strictly for upgrade only, and it is one way. Generally, it's saved as vMotion. It will revert if it fails. The VMs are automatically moved to folders in the SAN as part of the operation. The VMDK copies will be via SAN, not via network. SAN to iSCSI or NAS is not supported, but it may work. And VMs will be running in legacy mode until the VM hardware is updated. DRS, VMware HA, VCB are not supported while the VM and tools are still in legacy. Thank you for coming. Have a nice day. Enjoy your lunch. I appreciate your time.